10. What a tremendous truth that the sweet psalmist of Israel gives in just 11 words concerning the name of the Lord. The Lord holds His name in high esteem. And it is written in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." Now God's name means something, and it ought to be honored, for it is grander, higher, and more significant than any other name. All that the Lord is, and all that the Lord does is included in His name. Man owes God reverence, awe, fear, and respect. And when we do not use His name properly, we are breaking this commandment that was written in stone. There is only one thing God holds above His name, and that is His word. In Psalm 138, verse 2, it reads, "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." You say, how is that possible? Well, the Lord knows His name is only as good as His word. As you read the Bible from front to back, from Genesis to Revelation, you will find the names of our Lord Jesus Christ scattered all over the written voice of God, like beautiful wildflowers in a meadow with their fragrance becoming increasingly sweeter the more you learn about them. William Shakespeare wrote, "What's in a name?" And the answer to that question is, a name is that which a person or thing is known. Now the names of our Lord Jesus describe, define, and declare His person so that He may be known to us. His names are identical with His character, His nature, and the offices that are His. Every name given to Jesus is above every name given to man. In His name we receive the forgiveness of sin. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12 tells us, "I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. In His name we have salvation." Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." In His name we have eternal life. John 20, verse 31 tells us, "But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name." In His name we can give thanks for all things and in all things, because Ephesians 5:20 tells us, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." We are also to pray in His name. In John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, it tells us, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything," what? "In my name, I will do it." Matter of fact, all our doing and all of our speaking is to be done in accordance with His name. Colossians 3:17 reads as follows, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." We are to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And according to 2 Thessalonians 3:6, we are even to separate ourselves from believers who walk disorderly and do so in the name of Jesus. I know that sinful men use His name when cursing, and many refuse to acknowledge Him as Lord. But to those of us who believe, Jesus is the sweetest name we know. He is a wonderful person, the most wonderful person we will ever know or ever meet, for there is no one quite like Him. To us, He meets our every need. He satisfies our soul's desires. He stills our fears, soothes our sorrows. He calms the storms, directs our steps, fulfills our hope, and is an ever-present help who will never leave us nor forsake us. to the saved who commune with him. He is the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bundle of myrrh, the balm of Gilead, the one that is altogether lovely, the diadem of beauty, and the fairest of 10,000 to our souls. He is the Word of God, the Son of God, the angel of the Lord, the Christ of God, the chosen of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God, the righteousness of God, the salvation of God. He is the gift of God, the Holy One of God, the express image of God, the mighty God. He is our Jehovah, our God, God our Savior, our Lord, God over all, blessed forever, Emmanuel, God with us, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, the Bible emphasizes the deity of Jesus. He is the I Am that spoke to Moses in the burning bush. He told those who disputed his claim that he was the Son of God before Abraham was, I am. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. The door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am from above. I'm not of this world. I'm the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine, and I am the root and offspring of David. He is the ever-present God who was, is, and shall ever be. Yet, this eternal God stepped into time and robed himself in human flesh. He was also the seed of the woman that would fulfill the promise of bruising the serpent's head. He is the seed of Abraham, of the lineage of Isaac, of the house of Jacob, of the tribe of Judah, of the stem of Jesse, of the family of David. And we know him in the New Testament as the virgin-born babe lying in Bethlehem's manger. He is the firstborn son of Mary, the 12-year-old boy being about his father's business in the temple. He is the man approved of God, the man of sorrows, the second Adam, the man Christ Jesus, who is the only mediator between God and men. He makes at one ment between God and sinful man possible. He is the rock on which we build our lives, our shield, our buckler, and our hiding place. He's our city of refuge and our exceeding great reward. He is the living water from whom all blessings flow. He's my shepherd. And because he is, therefore I shall not want. He is the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep, the great shepherd who lives for his sheep, and the chief shepherd who is coming again to reward his sheep. And he is the shepherd and bishop of our souls. At the same time, he is the Lamb of God, the Lamb without spot or blemish, the Lamb dumb before his shears, our Passover lamb, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the lamb that is in the midst of the throne as well as the door of the sheepfold. He is the living stone, the rock from which we get our spiritual drink, the elect stone, the precious stone, the tried stone, the chief cornerstone, the stone cut out of the mountains without hands. He is a strong rock, the rock of ages, the rock of our salvation, the rock that is higher than I, the rock upon which his church is built. And to those who reject him, he is the stumbling stone and rock of offense. He is the fountain of living waters by which our thirsty souls are quenched. He is a true manna which came down from heaven and satisfies those hungering for righteousness. He is the bread of heaven that nourishes the inner man. He is the one who hides us in the cleft of the rock, who covers us like a mother hen does her chicks in a storm. He is a covert from the tempest, rivers of water in a dry and thirsty land. He is a helping hand when we are sinking. He is a master of the sea that speaks and calms our fears. He is the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. He is the author and finisher of our faith, the captain of our salvation. He's the creator, the sustainer of all things, and he possesses all power in heaven and on earth. He is the one and only Savior there is. He picked us up out of the miry pit, stood us up, cleaned us up, and then tuned us up when he put a new song in our heart. Oh, how I love him. How I adore him. My life, my sunshine, my all in all. The great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in him. He is the first fruits of the greatest harvest, that will ever be gathered. He is the firstborn from the dead, the first begotten of the dead, the firstborn among the brethren, the firstborn of every creature, the only begotten Son, and the only begotten of the Father. He is no created being. He is the Word whereby all things were created. He is a true vine, of which we are the branches. He is the plant of renown, the corn of wheat by whose death we are given life. It should be reasonable on the part of the saints to present their bodies to him as a living sacrifice, to not be conformed to the world, to have our minds renewed, and to do his will, which is good, acceptable, and perfect. May we as his people allow him to rule and reign over our lives. May his praise ever be on our lips. And may we obey him in all things. Oh, would we let our light shine and our manner of life and the witness we are to have draw the lost to him. And when it comes to him, let's manifest his life in our walk and be the light as he walk in the light as he is in the light. And find him to be our all in all. His gentleness makes us great. His glory makes us humble. His grace is what sustains us. His mercy lifts our soul. His majesty bows us in the dust. His word lightens our path. And his will ought to be our desire. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. And may I say, he's everything in between. But as Alpha, our Lord is the source, the beginning of all revealed truth and all testimony given to him. The alphabet used as a means of communication, it brings to us the message of Jesus Christ. He is the alphabet by which God communicates to us and through which he makes himself known to us. Hebrews 1 verse 1 and 2 says, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by what? His Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Jesus Christ is God's last message, and he makes God known to the world. He did say to Jesus, I and my Father are one. And at the Last Supper, he told Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. The Greek alphabet has 24 letters. And the possibilities of that alphabet are said to be exhaustless. Folks, Jesus is the infinite one. He is over and above and beyond all defining. He is the Alpha and Omega of creation. He is the Alpha and Omega of redemption. And as such, he should be the Alpha and Omega of our trust. Our love and our life as Alpha, we should begin every day with him. As Omega, our chief goal should be his glory. As Alpha and Omega, Jesus becomes many marvelous things to us. He spells out to every believer that he is the Almighty One, the Advocate with the Father, the Anointed One, the Apostle, the Amen of God. He is our Elder Brother, beloved of the Father, the Blessed One, the brightness of God's glory, the bright and morning star. He is the builder, the captain of the Lord's host, consolation, counselors whose words never fail, as well as our commander. To all his saints, he is deliverer. He is a dayspring from on high. The daysman, David's son, David's Lord. He is the root and offspring of David. He is the ensign of the people, the father of eternity, the faithful and true witness. Yes, he is eternal. His duration is without beginning or end. He is present without time. He has life that is never ceasing, and he remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. To those of us who know him, he is our foundation, our forerunner, a friend of sinners. He is the fairest one of all. He is a guide who leads us in paths of righteousness, the governor whose laws are flawless, and God our Savior. To all people, to his people, he is the Holy One, our hope. He is the head of every man. He is the cry of the seraphims as they declare along with the Father and the Spirit, holy, holy, holy. He is the image of the invisible God, our intercessor, the just one, the judge of the quick and the dead. He is Jesus. He is our kinsman. He is life, lawgiver, leader, Lord of all life, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Lord from heaven, Lord of the Sabbath, and Lord our righteousness. To the saved, he is our master, minister, Messiah, morning star, the man Christ Jesus, an ideal pattern for all men and their relationship to God and their treatment of their fellow man. In the eyes of the redeemed, he is the Nazarene, Jesus of Nazareth, the one with the name above all names. He is the offering for sin, the one who overcame the world, the devil, death, and the grave. He is our peace, our power over sin, the purifier of our transgression. He is the physician who heals, the priest who intercedes and saves us to the uttermost. He's our propitiation. And when he died on the cross, this alone satisfied God's holiness so God could extend his mercy to all of us. He is the prophet who forecasts of future events are like history written in advance. He is the Prince of Life, the Prince of Princes, the one who quickens and whose quotes will last as the ages roll on. He is our ransom price paid, our refiner, restorer, ruler, our song, our sacrifice, our surety. He is a teacher beyond compare, a treasure of immense value, a testator who left us a great inheritance. He gave us the unction of the Holy One. He is the very Christ. He is the way, the wisdom of God. He is wonderful. He's exactly what we need. He's the young child, and he is zealous for the house of God. His person is one. His nature is two. He is both human and divine, finite and infinite. He has the arm of God, yet the heart of a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is truly a being all by himself. Millions upon millions from every kindred, tongue, people, and nation has found the nature of Christ to lighten the burden of life, to cheer them on their way, and one to call on in time of need. That's why we sing, "Oh, take the name of Jesus with you. Child of sorrow and of woe, it will joy and comfort give you, so take it then where'er you go." He is the last Adam. And while the first man was named Adam and was made in the image of God, the last Adam is the express image of God. The first Adam is of the earth. The last Adam was the Lord from heaven. The first Adam was tempted by Satan and fell. The last Adam was tempted by Satan and was victorious. The first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The first Adam condemned humanity to death. The last Adam gives life to all who believe. The first Adam put us under a curse. The last Adam was made accursed for us. And in his return to the earth, that curse will then be removed. The first Adam placed us under God's wrath. But belief in the last Adam places us under God's favor. The first Adam puts us in a coffin. The last Adam raises believers' bodies from the graves with new ones like unto his glorious body. Jesus Christ perfectly reveals, represents, and manifests God. He possesses all the attributes of God. He performs the works of God. He holds the offices of God. And those who dare deny his deity are labeled as Antichrist. He is the Lord of glory, the King of righteousness, the Lord of all, the King over all the earth, the Lord of the living and the dead, the King of saints, the Lord from heaven, the King's Son, the Lord's Christ, the King in his beauty, and the Lord Jehovah. Yet he is the Savior, Redeemer, the sole and sufficient cause of salvation for sinful man. We are cleansed from sin by his blood. We are sanctified by his word. We are indwelt and sealed by his spirit. And his righteousness is the white robe of the redeemed. While those who go about trying to establish their own righteousness will perish like a Pharisee, even though they try their best to keep the law, follow the golden rule, and are sincere in their religion, and do all they can to gain the favor of God, they will find that their righteousness is nothing more than filthy rags. Pilate asked the question, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" I ask you, what will you do without him? One can do without everybody and everything but Jesus. In life, in death, and in judgment, what will you do without him? If one is to be saved, then let them look to Jesus. Let them see him as sinless, betrayed, smitten, afflicted, wounded, bruised, beaten, condemned, dead, buried, and risen again. Let them believe in the crucified Christ and none else. Then when they believe, let them abide in him. Let them walk with him. Let them glory in him and count all things but loss and keep their eyes on him all the rest of their days. Let us saints have all our desires be centered in him. Let our motives in living and service be drawn from him. And let us finish the race before us, looking unto Jesus, and be faithful to him until we go to him or he comes for us. Let's exalt him above all others, for God has highly exalted him. Let's honor him above all others, for God has given him a name above all names. Let's crown him Lord of all, for he is King of kings. He's worthy to rule, and he's worthy to reign in all of our lives. If you have yet to call upon his name for salvation, may today be the day of your salvation. If you have, isn't it about time you make the decision that you will live so as not to bring shame to that wonderful name above all names, the name of Jesus? Let's all stand together.